Here's our sermon series. We are spurred on to holiness and power by immersing ourselves into the life of Christ through the eyes of the apostles, studying a harmony of the Gospels. You know the kind of person. You've witnessed to them already. You've shared the gospel. It might be a relative, might be a friend, might be somebody at work, might be somebody at school. And you've dared to say, I'm not sure you're saved. I'm not sure you're born again. And the person looks at you and says, what in the world are you talking about? Of course I'm a Christian. We say, but yeah, but you know, you've never experienced the being born again. And the person says, what do you mean being born again? Come on. There's Christians and then there's born again Christians, and God accepts all kinds of Christians, and you're arguing with them a little bit, and you're going back and forth, and it's just not making much sense to you. And the person says, well, wait a minute now. My parents baptized me when I was an infant baby, you know, and so I was baptized, and then later they sent me to confirmation, and then they sent me to catechism, and I passed the course. I agreed with all the questions, and I was confirmed. I was catechized. So I'm a Christian, and I attend church now and then, 3 Sundays out of 8 maybe. So what are you saying, that I'm not a Christian? How dare you say I'm not a Christian? Doesn't that frustrate you? Now what do you say? And so you say, okay, fine. Conversation's over. Conversation's over. Where else do you go from there? How do you pursue that conversation? Well, in our passage of Scripture today, as we're working our way through the Gospels, we come across a person exactly like that. His name is Nicodemus. Probably one of the most familiar passages in all of the Bible. John chapter 3. Most famous verse we're not going to get to today, but we're going to come right up to it. John 3:16. So it's the story of someone who thinks they are saved. In fact, they're sure they are saved. It's a story of a person who has been telling people throughout his professional life how to get to heaven. He's been instructing them and saying, you got to do this, 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 and this in order to get to heaven. And all of a sudden, he comes to Jesus, and here he hears something that blows his mind. What? What are you saying to me? So, let's read this passage. You have the Bibles in front of you. Let's stand together. I will read it, we'll exegete it, and then we'll pull out principles. So please stand. John 3, verses 1 through 15. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? There's sarcasm there. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds to the truth of this passage of Scripture. Help us to absorb it. Help my voice to last. Help it not be a distraction, but may our focus today be upon you, Jesus, and this amazing, amazing passage of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here comes Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, Pharisee of Pharisees, top man in his entire group. The group, wow, dressed in his Pharisee robes, esteemed by everybody, the teacher of Israel, not a teacher, but the most esteemed teacher of Israel. He's been at the temple. It's Passover. Jesus is there. Jesus has cleansed the temple, kicked out all the money changers, get rid of the ox, sheep, doves, yelled at people, how dare you make my father's house a house of trade? Nicodemus is listening. He watches. He observes. I don't know if he's in the front row, second row, third row, but he heard every word. He heard Jesus say, my father's house. And so Nicodemus, if he was listening intently, would have heard something about what Jesus said. Wow, no one else can say my father's house. No one else in the world can have the honor of saying he is the Son of God. Should have heard that. And so Nicodemus, not willing to raise his hand amongst the crowd of people who were sitting around Jesus, listening to Jesus teach after the temple had been cleansed. I don't know where Jesus held court, probably in the court of the Gentiles, most likely. And maybe it was hard for Nicodemus to go and stand there because he's a Jew of the Jews, but he listened. Jesus is teaching. Wow. And water has been turned to wine. Temple had been cleansed. Two signs, probably many more signs that aren't in the Bible. John says many more things were not mentioned that he did. And so Nicodemus comes by night. Why? He's not going to come in the daytime. He's not going to raise his hand at the temple. And so he comes to Jesus by night, perhaps where John was having Jesus stay, in a home, because John had connections in Jerusalem. And so maybe it was one of John's relatives. And there Nicodemus looked him up and knocked on the door. Rabbi, pointing at Jesus, teacher. It's a term of respect. But, wait a minute. You heard him say he was the Son of God. Why didn't you come to his home and say, sir, you said you were the Son of God. I want to approach you as if you are the Son of God. I want to approach you as if you're Messiah. No, not for Nicodemus. No, Rabbi, you are on my level. Just maybe one step above. You're a prophet, maybe. But I'm a rabbi too. I'm the teacher of Israel. So tell me, we know you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Yeah, is there a question there? What's next? What are you going to ask me? What's coming out of your lips next? Jesus didn't wait for that because already there is an assumption that needs to be corrected. And Jesus, perhaps knowing what's in Nicodemus's mind and heart, answers a question that he's really asking. Because the real question is, do you think I'm the Messiah? And if so, are you wanting to enter into my kingdom? Because in your framework and your understanding of what Judaism is all about, and what your role in Judaism is all about, is you are teaching people how to get into, eventually, the kingdom of God. Eventually. When it's all wrapped up in the end times, eschatology, end times, and so you're going to live this life now as best you can, but someday you'll be going to heaven and serving in the kingdom of God. That's what you think. And you're wondering, how do we do that? How do we get in? You got it all wrong, Nicodemus. You got it all wrong. I'm going to tell you exactly what you want to know, but you're not going to like it. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word again can mean one of two things. It can mean both, but in context, it can only mean one of two things. It can mean again, being born again, or it can mean from above. And that's how Jesus was using it. You have to be born, Nicodemus, from above. And Nicodemus heard born again. And so we're going to use it both ways. And John wants us to use it both ways, I believe. So born from above, born again. And Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you'll never experience, you'll never be a member, you'll never be a part of, you'll never live, Nicodemus, in the kingdom of God, which you so desperately want to do, and you're teaching thousands how to do it, but you're teaching them wrong. You're wrong. You got it wrong, Nicodemus, because you're not emphasizing the fact that you're not a member of the kingdom unless you have been born from above. Have your nature changed? Have your heart regenerated, a heart of stone, a dead rock being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and making a heart of flesh. That's what this is all about. Taking away your sinful nature and replacing it with a new nature, a nature that loves God, a nature that desires God, wants to serve God. Has that happened to you yet, Nicodemus? Have you been born again? Most likely not. Well, in sarcasm, Nicodemus responds, how can a man be born when he is old? This was a derisive comment. He wasn't really listening. He wasn't trying to capture the truth of what Jesus was saying. He says, I'm incredulous. What are you talking about? You make no sense at all. Talk about being born again. Come on. And so this is sarcastic. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You're being foolish, Jesus. And Jesus didn't respond to the foolishness. He just said, truly, Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you should know this. Nicodemus, you're the teacher, the primary teacher of all Israel. You should know this verse that's about ready to be put on the screen. You should know this. You should have been teaching it for years and years and years. This is one of the most important verses in the entire Old Testament, and you should have been having your students memorize this verse. Nicodemus, what's wrong with you? That's between the lines. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Jeremiah says something similar, but here's what God said. I will sprinkle clean water on you, you faithful ones of Israel. Clean water. What does that mean? Well, the purification waters of the Old Testament didn't do the job. They couldn't purify unholy hands and make them holy hands. No, it's going to require something far more than that. It's going to require the Spirit cleansing them from their sin. Might even refer to the blood of Jesus Christ being poured out on the cross. But here's how God describes it. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And then I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to put a new spirit within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my, capital S, Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Nicodemus, why don't you know that? It's one of the most important verses in the entire Old Testament. What's wrong with you, Nicodemus? And that's what it means. Unless one is born of the purifying water of God's Spirit, flushing away our sinfulness, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, Nicodemus. You're a fleshly person. You had parents. You're a baby. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's what you need to be born again. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. Can you tell me where it's going to go next? Can you tell me what it's going to do next? You can't do that. You can't predict it. You hear its sound, but you can't see it. And you do not know where it comes from or where it's going to go, but you know the effects, and that's the important point. You don't know what the Spirit's going to do. You don't know who the Spirit's going to regenerate, but you can see the effect in their lives once they have been born again. So Nicodemus responded, how can these things be? I don't get it. I don't get it. It goes against everything I've been taught. It goes against all my instructors, all my education. I can't understand what you are saying. Jesus said, you're the teacher. You're the teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? How can you miss this? How could you do that? Basically, that's what Jesus is saying. Truly, I say to you, what do you mean, who's we? Well, when Nicodemus came in and knocked on the door, he said, Rabbi, we, who's we? Nicodemus, aren't you talking for yourself? Or are you implying that you're a delegate from a group, and they sent you as a delegate to talk to me? Who's we when you came? I don't really care anymore. I'm going to tell you about who we are. Who's we now? We speak. God the Father, God the Son, and me, God the Son and the Holy Spirit combined. We speak of what we know, and we together bear witness, not only verbally to your ears, but internally to your heart. We bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive it. You should have been coming humbly. You should have been knocking on the door and bowing at my feet. You should have been flat on your face because I said who I was. Son of God. Why didn't you do that? You're not listening. You're not receiving our testimony. You're not hearing and believing what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart. You're rejecting it. Now, if I've told you earthly things about people being born again and what needs to happen to them here on earth, and you're not willing to believe that, what I just told you, you don't like the idea of being born again because you like the idea of earning your salvation, earning your points, doing your list of duties, obeying the commandments, all 600 of them, and many more that you made up. That's how you want to get to heaven. If you don't want to believe that, how are you going to believe if I tell you about heavenly things, greater things? You're not going to believe those either. I'll tell you what, though. I'm telling you who I am. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, me. Me, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the story of the poisonous snakes in the wilderness, and God told Moses, form a snake, form a metal bronze snake, and then hold it up on a pole, and anyone who looks at that snake and trusts in my word that if they look at that snake, the poison will leave their bodies, they will be healed. That's salvation in the Old Testament, physical salvation. Of course, had to be destroyed by Hezekiah later, but that was their salvation. Here's a picture, Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, on a piece of wood, that whoever believes in him at that moment or forever thereafter may have eternal life. I'm sure Nicodemus left that night not believing in Jesus. But later, later, he did. Principles, let's get these on the screen. If you're witnessing to a person who thinks they are already saved like Nicodemus did, number one, expect them to react with prideful resistance just like Nicodemus. Expect that. So what do? Say, I know that's how you think. You know, and the words I'm saying to you about you must be born again may sound strange to you, so let me just open up the Bible and read to you from John chapter 3. Just like Jesus talked to Nicodemus, can I read you verses 1 through 15? You must be born again. Talking to pastors, some pastors in other denominations, they say, you Baptists, they might as well be saying, you evangelicals. You keep preaching people have to be born again. We don't preach that in our churches. We just go through confirmation and just agree. What's this business about conversion? Yeah, I've had that said to me. Interesting. Here in this town, just read. Don't argue. Don't be upset. Just listen to what Jesus said. But then realize that their understanding of what it means to be, quote, born again, will be just as hidden from the person you're witnessing to as it was for Nicodemus. They're not going to get it. They're not going to understand. So be patient. Pray. Don't get upset. Don't get upset with their arrogance and their pride. But respond with just gracious and probing questions like, what do you think Jesus meant when he talked to Nicodemus and said, you need to be born again? What do you think it means? How does your mind grab a hold of that? Number two, know that the more comfortable a person is in their life, the less they will be open to search for spiritual truths that will make them uncomfortable. You know why children accept Christ at a percentage rate more so proportionate wise than people in their 50s and 60s and 70s. You know why? Here's why, right here. Don't make my life uncomfortable. I like my friends. I like my church. I like my life. I don't want to change anything. And so the more comfortable they are with their life as it is now, the less inclined they will be to listen about being born again. Number three, know that the more educated your friend is that you're witnessing to, the more educated he is in all kinds of religious teachings, Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, whatever teachings they are. I've had this said, I've studied them all. I've studied Islam, I've studied Buddhism, I've studied Hinduism, I've studied Christianity, and I come to a conclusion, I've heard this too, they all lead to God, whatever God that is. And so they're decided ahead of time, I know all, I studied it all. So know that the more educated your friend is in all kinds of religious teachings, the harder it will be for them to admit their ignorance of basic truths that will lead to life eternal. This is the struggle Nicodemus had. Struggle he had, Judaism. Number four, know that the more a person is steeped in their own Christian, quote, Christian, religion of works, the harder it will be for them to turn away from their traditions and their fellowships. How they were raised. That's what my church said. Do this and you go to heaven. Be baptized in this church, you go to heaven. Be buried in this church, you go to heaven. Confirmed in this church, you go to heaven. Be married in this church, you go to heaven. It's all about do, 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 do. And not have it be done to you. Number five, knowing all of the above, do not attempt to debate. Do not attempt to instruct. Do not attempt to teach, argue. Why? It's not about winning an argument. Jesus didn't do that with Nicodemus. He just let the Holy Spirit take over. Jesus knew the only hope for Nicodemus was if the Holy Spirit was going to bring Nicodemus to repentance, which he did. Which he did later on. Not that night. Not that night. We'd have heard of it had it happened that night. So don't argue. Don't try to win an argument. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Number six, don't write them off as unredeemable, since Nicodemus himself became a true believer later. You see that in Scripture. What a joy that was. A follower of Jesus Christ. How exciting. Just took time. Number seven, most importantly, make sure the transformational power of the Spirit has already blown you over and knocked out the pride in your life right out of your sails. You've been born again. You've been converted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just because we might be first or second or third generation Baptists does not mean we have all been born again, or it's simply something that happens to Baptists. It's just crazy. It's personal. Respond to the power of the Holy Spirit causing you to be born again. I love it. I love it. Number eight. Do not think, however, that they are unsaved because they can't verbalize the way you want it to be said. Do not think they're unsaved because you see no signs, unless you see no signs of transformation. It has to be transformation. Holy Spirit's going to cause somebody to be born again. They're going to be changed. They're going to be a different person. They're not going to be living the same life they were living before. No. They may not have said the right words or known the exact moment it happened in their life when they surrendered to Christ and when they abandoned their trust in their own righteousness, but God knows their heart, okay? So don't be the judge. Just help them in this process. Help them. There's a final note. Look at this passage of Scripture again. It comes after John chapter 1, when John talks about how a person is born again, not by the will of man. It's not your will that does it. It's not because of who you're related to. It's all in John chapter 1. No. How is a person born again? They're born again by the sovereign, elective power of God. God chooses whom he will save. And you know, when people say, I don't like that doctrine, and I'll say, why? Well, they say, it sounds so unfair. It's unfair. And I say, wait a minute, you don't understand. It's not unfair. Here's the condition of man. The condition of man in its normal state is rebellion against God. And in its rebellion against God, they're all acting out of their sinful nature. And they're going to continue to do this to God, saying, no, I don't want your authority in my life. I want to please me and me alone. I'm not going to obey you. That's the condition of all 7 billion people on this planet. And so it's their choice to rebel against God with a high-handed fist of rebellion. So had God not chosen a percentage of them, no one would be saved. And here's what Patty and I like to say to people. No one will go to heaven, or where the judgment throne of God is, the great white throne, and stand before the judge of all the universe and say to Jesus, you know, I really wanted to be saved. I really wanted to surrender my life to you, but you didn't choose me. I wasn't elected, so it's unfair. No one can ever say that. Why? Because Jesus at that moment will say to them, really? Are you telling me the truth? Because let's go back into your life, and I will show you the thousands and thousands of times the Holy Spirit came to speak to your heart, just as he did to Nicodemus. And I will show you in replay how you said no again and again and again and again for 10,000 times. I will show you. And you never once surrendered, never once obeyed the command to call me Lord. I will show you that. That'll never happen. No one will ever say, but I wanted to, but you wouldn't let me. So that's a false conclusion. If you have questions, you can ask me later about this. Great passage of Scripture. I love it. You should love it. This is Jesus at his best. Of course, he's always at his best. But what great truths. You must be born again. Listen to the Spirit. Let's stand and be dismissed with our prayer. We're looking forward to some fellowship and then a great, great video on Mormonism coming up in just a few minutes. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now with your power upon us. We are so grateful that the Holy Spirit came into our hearts and lives and changed our dead hearts. And we don't want to go out into the world tomorrow and act as if it was no big deal. We want to go out in the world tomorrow and we want to look at people who may have the attitude of Nicodemus or who may have grown up in a church all their life and said, you know, I'm a Christian because I'm you know, whatever label it might be, or I'm a Christian because I'm an American or whatever. And we want to go out and we want to ask them gently and graciously, have you ever thought about Jesus' words, you must be born again? Has that ever happened to you? Give us that desire today to be verbal and vocal about our treasured faith. You, Lord Jesus, are our treasure. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Let's enjoy fellowship together.